Dear friends, today we're going to talk about a subject that is so exciting. I would like for you to call your neighbors and friends and ask them to tune in quickly, because we're talking about a program which will be very exciting to you, especially you ladies, that will enable you to reach your neighbors, loved ones, and friends for Christ in a way you've never dreamed possible. And with me today is my beloved, beautiful wife, Vonette, who has served with me for over 50 years, and this program is one of the most exciting things that we could possibly share with you.
Honey, when you say 50 years, it sounds like...
Well, you were 5 years old when we were married.
Well, we've had lots of fun, and this is a strategy we're very excited about sharing with you.
Picture this scene in your mind for a moment. Matthew, a despised tax collector, sat day after day watching the hatred in the eyes of those he encountered as he greedily collected and counted his coins. But one day, Jesus lovingly and graciously reached out to him and said, "Follow me." Matthew's life was forever changed. And overwhelmed by the invitation to become one of Jesus' disciples, Matthew immediately wanted to witness to a group of his friends. So he invited them to his home for dinner. Jesus, in the seat of honor, shared with these men who desperately needed to know about God's unconditional love and forgiveness, how wonderful is his way.
Well, and today, Bill, Matthew's dinner evangelism strategy is still changing lives. People all over the world are opening their homes and their hearts to their friends and their neighbors.
And when we do that, we open the door for the gospel.
You and I have had so many wonderful opportunities to lead people to Jesus Christ because we've opened our home and we've invited them in. And they, in turn, have invited Christ into their lives. It's a wonderful way to share the greatest news of all eternity.
You know, I think, Vonette, as we go back 47 years to the beginning of this ministry, we started our meetings in the fraternities and sororities and dormitories, presented the gospel, and the students would respond literally with the hundreds. Oftentimes, as many as 50% of those present would say they wanted to receive Christ. Our home has always been the hub of our ministry. No matter how beautiful or warm a church building is, it cannot possibly match the intimacy and comfort that a home offers. You don't have to have fancy china or expensive decor. God just wants us to surrender our residence to Him because He wants to use our resources to introduce others to Christ. In fact, I feel so strongly about this evangelism strategy that we're focusing this entire week on the subject. And that's why I'm proudly handing the ball to you, dear, one of the greatest hostesses I know.
Well, I'm excited and honored to be a part of this series, along with our special guest, Joyce Bateman.
Bill and Vonette, it's so good for me to be here with you both.
We're so excited you're here.
Thank you.
Well, Joyce, you and your husband, Rich, live in Lakeville, Minnesota.
That's right.
And you've been with staff of Campus Crusade for Christ since 1968. I am thrilled that you will be adding your own hospitality insight, since you are founder and national director of Campus Crusade's Christmas Gathering Ministry.
Joyce, you and your associates have trained and encouraged thousands of women how to host their own Christmas gatherings. This is such an exciting and effective way to share our faith at Christmas time.
It sure is, Bill. It seems like the Christmas season is just the perfect time where people are spiritually sensitive and they're even very open to a social gathering in someone's home.
I'm so impressed by the thousands of lives that have been changed as a result of these events. It's just incredible.
And as we'll learn during this series, it's so easy and it's so much fun, too.
And to help you along, ladies, we have some special drama to illustrate how easy and gratifying it is to open your home and share the gospel. So take it away.
Joyce, are you ready?
I sure am.
During this series, we're going to follow a lady named Jan Reed. She has decided to host a Christmas coffee. She, like so many people, have never done anything like this before.
And as you and I know, Vonette, from experience, it's natural to have the first-time jitters.
Let's listen as she calls her friend Vicky for some encouragement.
Hello?
Vicky, this is Jan Reed.
Hi, Jan. Are you ready for your Christmas coffee?
I think so.
I was just calling to tell you what I've done to see if I've left anything out.
Okay. Why don't you just go through your list?
Well, I've decided on a menu, prepared a program schedule, lined up my guest speaker, that's you.
Uh-huh.
And written all my invitations.
Sounds like you're ready. Have you made a prayer list with all your guests on it?
Oh, no. Thanks for reminding me.
How do you feel about hosting?
I can't tell if I'm excited or scared to death.
Probably both.
Well, I'd better go. I want to deliver these invitations before it gets late.
Good idea. I'll be praying for you.
That reminds us of how important preparation really is, doesn't it, Joyce?
It really is, Vonette. In fact, it's not too late for our listeners to start today to plan for their Christmas gathering. It's good to plan several weeks in advance, before Thanksgiving if possible. As we see, Jan's already made out her invitations, lined up her guest speaker, and she's organized her program and menu.
And then prayer is important.
She's going to make a list of her guests and then pray for them every day. I'm glad that Vicky, her friend, reminded her to do that. It's a good idea to bathe an upcoming event in prayer with a friend. In fact, we ask people to get a couple people just specifically to pray for them all during the preparations for and during their Christmas gathering.
Good idea. And speaking of prayer, now let's join Jan as she begins to deliver the invitations.
Yes?
Hi, I'm Jan Reed, your neighbor from down the street.
Oh, you're the little blonde-haired boy's mother. He has the red bicycle.
That's him.
I'm Helen Wilson. I'm so glad to meet you.
Thank you. I wanted to stop by and invite you to a Christmas coffee I'm having on December the 6th.
Really?
I'm inviting several women from the neighborhood, so it'll be a chance for us to get better acquainted. We'll have some refreshments, and I've asked a friend to share some special thoughts about Christmas.
Oh, that sounds like a nice idea. I'd love to come. Can I bring anything?
No, just yourself.
Well, good. I'll look forward to it.
Hi, I'm Jan Reed, your neighbor from down the street?
Yes.
I'm inviting a few women in the neighborhood to a Christmas coffee at my house on December 6th. I'd love to have you join us.
What is a Christmas coffee?
Well, it's where we get together and have some refreshments and talk about how we celebrate Christmas with our families. I have a friend who will come and...
I'm sorry, but I don't think I'll be able to come. You see, we're Jehovah's Witnesses, and we don't celebrate Christmas.
Well, I'd really love to get to know you better. I hope you'll really consider coming.
I'll think about it. Thank you.
Well, that first delivery was pretty painless.
It sure was. It seems like when she contacted the second person, though, she encountered something a little difficult. But I thought she handled it quite well, don't you?
Well, I think she did. And it's kind of unusual that we run into those situations, but we do need to be prepared for them.
You know, we found that even if people don't celebrate Christmas, they're very open to coming. They seem to just be intrigued. In fact, we've had people say to the hostesses after the parties, you know, I never understood why you Christians were so excited about the Christmas season.
Well, it's so important that we stay positive and that we try to be flexible with our situation, whatever it might be.
It's important that also we pray before delivering the invitations. I've sure found, Vonette, though, that that's not a difficult thing to do. These kinds of gatherings cause us to pray and cause us to walk closely with God. The other thing that I'd like to add is that we need to invite at least 30 people to get 10 people to our parties.
Yes, only about a third generally come.
That's right.
Well, let's see how Jan finishes her deliveries.
Hello?
Vicky, this is Jan.
Wow, how'd it go?
Great. Some people said they couldn't be there, but everyone was really nice.
Well, not everyone's gonna...
This is so great, Vicky. I've been wanting to meet these neighbors for 4 years, but I never had the courage to get out and do it.
Well, sometimes we just need a little push.
Oh, this will be my first opportunity to share my faith. It's really exciting.
Don't forget to pray every day for the ones on your guest list.
I won't. And don't you catch a cold or get sick or anything, because I'm counting on you to be the high point of the afternoon.
The only thing I plan to catch is a little bit of your enthusiasm.
It's amazing. Once we step out in faith, God provides the wisdom.
The scriptures say, Vonette, that if we open our mouths, God will fill it. And that's the experience.
He just needs our availability, and then He'll do the rest.
Keep inviting those people until you have at least 10 people at your party.
Thank you, Vonette and Joyce. What an exciting concept. Tomorrow, we will experience the day of the actual event, Jan's first Christmas coffee. Today, Vonette and I have the privilege of interviewing again Joyce Bateman, who heads up the incredible Christmas Coffee Hour Gathering concept, which is introducing literally thousands of women to Christ. Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." These were among the last words of our Lord to His disciples and them to us before He left this earth in bodily form. This is what we call the Great Commission. We're to go, whether it's to another country or next door, we're to go and make disciples.
Bill, it's so good to be part of this series and let people know about Christmas gatherings.
And I think sometimes when we hear those words of Jesus, it can be really overwhelming. I'm just one person. How can I possibly help fulfill such a large order? Where do I start? But I truly believe the answer lies in reaching out from one heart to another. By inviting those around us into our homes and loving them, and showing them how our relationship with God makes a difference in our lives.
I agree. Open doors to our homes and hearthsides. Give us the right and the opportunity to share the most joyful news ever announced, that God loves us and wants to have a relationship with us. Joyce, in your many years of being involved in evangelistic hospitality and Christmas gatherings, I know you have many stories.
I sure do, Bill. Not long ago, Rich, my husband, was in China, and he was taking a tour with a mutual friend of ours on a bike. And as he was on this bike, a Chinese lady came up and began talking away to the friend that he was with. Of course, he understood nothing that she said because she was speaking Chinese. But after she left, the lady turned to my husband and said, "There's a lady who received Christ at a Christmas gathering this December, and I've been meeting with her, and she has been growing so mightily."
This is in China.
China.
Ah, wonderful.
All over the world. It's very culturally adaptable.
Well, yesterday's program was great, and I'm so anxious to hear what you have to say today, Joyce. I want our listeners to call their loved ones, neighbors, and friends and ask them to tune in, because this is too exciting not to share.
As you remember yesterday, we're following the character of Jan Reed in our drama. The long-awaited day is finally here. Today is the day of her Christmas coffee, and she's very excited and very nervous, too.
I'll bet.
But Jan and her guest speaker, Vicky, have prayed together before any of the guests arrive.
Vonette, a fun part of the Christmas gathering is when the hostess has her guests share some of the Christmas traditions that they enjoy in their family. This is what we'll be hearing first at Jan's Coffee.
This is a good icebreaker. Let's listen in.
Christmas Eve is usually spent baking cookies for Santa Claus.
And when the kids go to bed, putting together all those assemble-it-yourself toys that all husbands love.
Husbands? I usually end up doing that job myself.
Last year, we read the Christmas story from the Bible just before the kids went to bed. It helped them wind down a little.
We've done that.
You know, I've heard that story read ever since I was a little girl, and it still has special meaning for me.
This has been such fun, hearing all your different traditions. Maybe we can share more a little later on. Now, Christmas is such a special time of year,
And as I said on my invitation, a friend of mine's going to come and speak to us today. Vicki, will you come and tell us what Christmas means to you?
I'd love to. You're right, Jan. Christmas is a special time of year. Getting together with family and friends, showing our love by giving gifts to each other. But 5 years ago, something happened to me. I learned the true meaning of Christmas. I unwrapped the greatest gift I could ever receive. Now I thought I had everything. A beautiful home, a brand new healthy baby. My husband had a great job. We had a lot of nice things. But even with all these wonderful things, I still felt, I don't know, empty inside. I was lonely and so depressed. Then one day a friend told me that I could have a personal relationship with God. I remember I thought, oh, right. But she told me that God loved me so much that He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to be born in that manger and grow up to be a man and then willingly die on a cross to pay for my sin. He paid the penalty. He shed His blood so that I wouldn't end up being separated from God forever. She told me about how Jesus rose from the dead and how He lives today and wanted to come into my heart and give me forgiveness, joy, peace, eternal life. All I had to do was ask. Well, that day I received God's greatest gift, Jesus Christ. He became my Savior and Lord, and He's changed my life completely. He filled up that empty space inside me with pure joy. Now, maybe today you have that same kind of emptiness in your heart. You know what? Christ can change your life like He did mine. In a moment, I'm going to pray a simple prayer like I prayed when I received Jesus Christ. So if we could all just bow our heads.
That was great, wasn't it, Vonette?
Well, you notice that her talk was simple, but it presented the gospel, and it was done in a way that a non-Christian could understand.
You know, we found that it's really helpful to have a really short talk. You can get the gospel in on a Christmas theme in 10 to 15 minute maximum.
And it's important to use words that people can understand. Avoid those Christian cliches.
That's right. And speaking from people's hearts, not preaching or giving a lecture, but just talking from their hearts.
And then to graciously thank the speaker for what she's done and then pass out the comment cards. That's so important that we get people's reaction.
You know, Vonette, the manual that's been written has even talks that a person can use and personalize in it.
A fun idea is to offer a door prize, too. It's kind of relaxing before they leave. Let's rejoin the ladies as Jan finishes collecting the comment cards.
Here you go, Jan. I filled out the card you gave me. I am having such a good time. I've met so many people I've been wanting to meet for years.
I'm so glad, Bernice. Miriam, I'm so glad you decided to come today.
It was thoughtful of you to invite me.
Oh, it was my pleasure. What did you think about what Vicki shared?
Well, I thought it was interesting.
Good. Maybe we could talk about it some more sometime?
We'll see.
I hope so. Oh, excuse me.
Jan.
Vicki, how do you think it's going?
Everything was just wonderful.
And it's not over yet. Oh, Vicki, thanks for sharing your testimony. Everyone was listening to every word. You could tell by their faces. Even Miriam. I'm praying God will give me another chance to talk with her.
Wow, it sounds like everyone had a great time, Vonette.
Yes, and even Miriam, who wasn't quite sure of what to expect, seemed to be quite positive.
It's amazing on the comment cards what people write. Some typical comment cards are, I thoroughly enjoyed your talk and truly feel I am ready to receive God's special gift. Here's another one, Vonette. I enjoyed the evening very much. What you shared with us gave me a feeling of peace and calm when things are so hectic in my life.
A thought to always remember is that people's hearts are unusually open and receptive to spiritual thoughts and to get-togethers during Christmas. They feel honored to be invited to a party, whether there will be people they know or don't know.
Thank you, Vonette and Joyce. It's so exciting to consider that literally tens of thousands of women could be introduced to Christ as a result of these programs we're doing each day for this week. And tomorrow, we'll continue this program, and I'm excited to hear what Jan has to share.
They feel honored to be invited to a party where there will be people they know or they would like to know.
Jan is going to share something very, very exciting in the next session of our series. Be sure to listen. Thank you, Vonette and Joyce. This has been an exciting program, and I can hardly wait until the next session to hear what Jan has to share.
Our hosts for this dramatized learning experience are Campus Crusade for Christ founder and president Dr. Bill Bright and Crusade co-founder and director of Women Today International, Vonette Bright. And Bill and Vonette, along with special guest Joyce Bateman, have been teaching us through drama how easy it is to share our faith through evangelistic hospitality. And we're following our character Jan Reed and her experience of hosting her first Christmas gathering. Earlier, she prepared her menu, program schedule, and has selected a guest speaker, Vicky. And as Jan wrote out her invitations, she committed to pray daily over her guest list. Then Jan was ready to hand-deliver the invitations, but she was, well, pretty nervous about it.
Lord, you know how nervous I am. Please give me courage and strength. I know this is something you want me to do. Speak through me, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Yes?
Hi, I'm Jan Reed, your neighbor from down the street.
Oh, you're the little blonde-haired boy's mother. He has the red bicycle.
That's him.
I'm Helen Wilson. I'm so glad to meet you.
Thank you. I wanted to stop by and invite you to a Christmas coffee I'm having on December the 6th.
Really?
I'm inviting several women from the neighborhood, so it'll be a chance for us to get better acquainted. We'll have some refreshments, and I've asked a friend to share some special thoughts about Christmas.
Oh, that sounds like a nice idea. I'd love to come. Can I bring anything?
No, just yourself.
Well, good. I'll look forward to it.
So Jan discovered, as we all do, that once we step out on faith and begin to build relationships with our neighbors, it is a painless process. And on the previous segment, that long-awaited day came. Jan was ready for her guests. She and Vicky had prayed together before the ladies arrived. And then they watched God move supernaturally as Vicky shared her testimony.
Christmas is a special time of year. Getting together with family and friends, showing our love by giving gifts to each other. But 5 years ago, something happened to me. I learned the true meaning of Christmas. I unwrapped the greatest gift I could ever receive. Now I thought I had everything. A beautiful home, a brand new healthy baby. My husband had a great job. We had a lot of nice things. But even with all these wonderful things, I still felt, I don't know, empty inside. I was lonely and so depressed. Then one day a friend told me that I could have a personal relationship with God. I remember I thought, oh, right. But she told me that God loved me so much that He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to be born in that manger and grow up to be a man and then willingly die on a cross to pay for my sin. He paid the penalty. He shed His blood so that I wouldn't end up being separated from God forever. She told me about how Jesus rose from the dead and how He lives today and wanted to come into my heart and give me forgiveness, joy, peace, eternal life. All I had to do was ask. Well, that day I received God's greatest gift, Jesus Christ. He became my Savior and Lord, and He's changed my life completely. He filled up that empty space inside me with pure joy. Now, maybe today you have that same kind of emptiness in your heart. You know what? Christ can change your life like He did mine. In a moment, I'm going to pray a simple prayer like I prayed when I received Jesus Christ. So if we could all just bow our heads.
So now let's join Bill, Vonette, and Joyce to find out how lives were changed and watch Jan plan for her follow-up strategy.
Have you ever said, I'd really like to share my faith with my neighbors? I know I need to witness to them, but it seems so hard to find a time when they'll really listen. Well, as we're learning during this series, Christmas is one of those times when people are especially receptive to the gospel.
Bill, it seems that many people think of Jesus, at least superficially, during this time of year. It's a season when homes, stores, even city streets take on a religious spirit. The holiday season holds enough Christian tradition and sentiment that we can take advantage of the spirit to present the gospel in a very non-threatening way.
At the same time, honey, many people feel empty and lonely during the holidays. The greatest number of suicides, for example, occur during this season because of disappointments and unmet expectations. Therefore, we never know what even our neighbors may be going through this time of year. So I challenge every one of you who are listening to commit to hosting a Christmas gathering this year. You may say, I'm so busy, I've got too much to do. Maybe next year I could do that. But friends, next year could be too late. Think about your neighbors. They may move away or something tragic may happen to them. Please don't miss out on an important opportunity to give them the greatest, most priceless gift this Christmas, true peace and eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Joyce Bademan is back with us today to share with us this concept of Christmas gatherings.
Bill, as you share, two stories came to my mind. The first one was a party that I happened to do where a lady had moved into the neighborhood 3 months prior to the party. God impressed this particular hostess to have a party. And at that party, she came up to me, handed me her comment card, and said to me what she had written on her comment card. She said, Joyce, I've been trying for years to get Jesus Christ into my life, but never knew how. About 3 weeks after the party, she moved out of the neighborhood. And the hostess said to me, had I not had the party this year, that dear friend wouldn't have come to Christ.
What a tragic thing that would have been.
Yes.
We hear that over and over again.
Right.
You know, sometimes people take people to church or they take them to different kinds of meetings, so on. But to hear a clear-cut testimony sharing how you can know that Jesus Christ is in your life makes such a difference.
And giving them an opportunity to receive Christ.
And Joyce, you got another story.
Yeah.
I want to hear it.
Yeah. A friend of mine called me the other day saying that she had just been to a funeral for a woman who had received Christ as a result of first coming to a Christmas gathering and then getting involved in a Bible study that the hostess started.
Oh,
and she had met Christ and now died of cancer was in the presence of the Lord. And she was just overjoyed that she had been faithful and obedient to the Lord in having a Christmas gathering.
We hear stories like that a lot. Well, let's go back to our drama and join Jan's Christmas coffee as she's about to share a special message with her guests.
Are you leaving?
Yeah, we gotta get going. Helen and I need to get started doing some of that Christmas shopping we talked about today.
I had a great time. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Helen. Your coats are right here.
The black one's mine. Oh, thank you.
Oh, thank you for coming. See you soon.
So, how'd you like hosting your first Christmas gathering?
Vicki, I loved it. When can we have another one?
How about, say, next year?
Have you looked at the comment cards yet?
Yes. Two women prayed to receive Christ.
Oh, that's really wonderful. This is better than I ever expected. Oh, and I had several ladies tell me they wanted to be involved in the Bible study, too.
When are you going to start it?
The second week of January, after everyone's had a chance to get over the holidays and get back into a routine.
Well, you got your work cut out for you.
I plan to start making phone calls tomorrow.
Ooh, good idea. You shouldn't wait too long. Remember, follow-up's as important as the event itself. Even to those who seemed a little uncomfortable.
Like Miriam?
She left the minute we finished sharing. She didn't even fill out a card.
I'll call her. First thing tomorrow.
Good idea.
But I've got to admit, I'm a little nervous about how she'll respond to my call.
It's wonderful how Jan's fear turned to rejoicing.
And isn't that the case in evangelism? You know, I've had so many hostesses come up to me and say, with tears in their eyes, I never dreamed God could use me to help people come to Christ.
Oh, and to see lives changed. How exciting it is.
It's thrilling.
Praise God. Two women are now in God's kingdom as a result of Jan's Christmas coffee.
And seeds are planted in the hearts of all who attended.
And follow-up is really crucial now. Joyce, tell us about that.
The exciting thing about Christmas gatherings is usually on the comment cards, there's a tremendous response to Bible study. And one out of three hostesses have the privilege of starting a Bible study after their party.
That's terrific. Now, does she actually invite them to the Bible study at that time? She's going to call later, or that's in the next segment?
I think that's in our next program. We'll see how Jan does her follow-up calls.
Well, we want to encourage you, don't wait one more week to get started. Start thinking about what you're going to do right now for a Christmas gathering or Christmas coffee.
Thank you, Vinette and Joyce. On the next segment, we'll see how Jan does her follow-up calls. I'm especially anxious, Vinette and Joyce, to see how she handles the situation with Miriam.
Me too.
Don't miss it.
Vinette, Jesus said, we are to be the light of the world. With all of my heart, I believe this truth applies to our association with our neighbors. He very clearly tells us to love our neighbors and care about them in practical ways. And if we don't know their names, it's impossible.
People are eager to be a part of a neighborhood today. And our discussion on the Christmas gatherings is such a perfect way to bring people together. And I like the term life sharing. Essentially, life sharing is making sharing your faith a way of life. You know, there's a difference between social entertaining and Christian hospitality. Entertaining focuses on the host. The home must be spotless and the food must be well prepared and abundant and the host must appear charming and relaxed. Hospitality, on the other hand, focuses on the guest. Their needs are the primary concern. Though the pleasant atmosphere and features are nice, hospitality can take place in a cluttered home around a dinner table with the main dishes of a can of soup. The focus is looking for ways to reach out to people's lives and to minister to them.
And in the process, we pour our lives into theirs. That is a true picture of what our Lord had in mind when he said, we're to be the light of the world.
Exactly.
Honey, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 33, God blesses the home of the righteous. When we make our homes available to him, he always blesses. Joyce Vaderman, you've been a delightful guest on these programs all this week, and I know you have many wonderful stories to tell. We're so excited that you're with us.
Thanks, Bill. You know, just recently, a lady from Ohio called me and told me she'd heard about the Christmas gathering concept from a friend. And as she began praying about it, God put on her heart to invite her whole family. She was from quite a large family, and so as she made up her list, she invited her mother, her mother-in-law, her sisters, her aunts, her cousins, her second cousins, and literally filled her home with family and invited a friend to come and share. And not only did some of her family members come to Christ, but they became very interested in spiritual things. And she's been doing a Bible study now with them all year. And even all through the summer, they wanted to keep in a Bible study with her. And she said just to see their spiritual interest and their desire to share prayer requests with her, it's just been so exciting. And she called me and wanted to get some manuals for some of her friends because she's going to encourage many of her friends to have parties this year.
That is an exciting story.
You know, people are so responsive if we just give them an opportunity to hear the message. Whether it's family or whether it's friends, people really love being together. And they like to have a little substance to the conversation and to the event.
That's right, Vinette.
And just as important as the gathering itself is the follow-up. Let's join our character Jan as she begins making follow-up calls after her very first Christmas coffee.
Dear Lord, please guide me as I call these ladies. Give me strength and the right words to say. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello?
Hi, Miriam? This is Jan from down the street.
Oh, hi, Jan.
I didn't have a chance to tell you how glad I am that you came to the coffee yesterday.
Yeah, I couldn't really stay, but I appreciate the invitation.
You're welcome. I also wanted to tell you I'm starting a ladies' Bible study in January. I'd really love it if you could join us.
No, I don't think so. I'm really busy.
Well, let me know if you change your mind. The invitation's always open.
Thanks. Well, goodbye.
It's important to pray about each call.
And you know, we are going to meet some people who might not be interested in spiritual things, but we need to keep the doors open and keep interested in them. Maybe even suggest that we go garage sailing with them or shopping with them instead of always inviting them to things at our church or in our home.
Look for an opportunity to
That's
be a
right,
real,
Annette.
Real friend. Well, I think, too, that if we always smile, if we're relaxed, if we're friendly, warm, if we're casual, people respond to that.
They sure do. You know, we live in a real unfriendly environment, and just casual friendliness will cause people to respond to us and to the love that we have for them because of Christ.
Mm-hmm. I like what a friend of mine has said. She's done lots, and I haven't lived that much in a neighborhood that I could do this. But, you know, if you're baking cookies, bake a little extra batch. If you are baking one pie, bake two, and
That's
take it
great.
To your neighbor.
Absolutely.
Really reach out to be friendly to your neighbors. That helps to open a door so that when you do make an invitation or when you are following up, and don't ever let anybody be an enemy. Be on the offensive and loving and give them space, but don't be threatened when they don't react positively to you.
I think, Vonette, it is important that we pray regularly for the people who've come to our parties. I remember a story of one hostess who called me up and said a lady who had attended her party, who she'd not had contact with for 5 years, called her up out of the blue and said to her, because of some crisis that she was having in her life, I just felt like I needed to talk to somebody. And her words were, I wonder if you'd just say a word for me. And as she told me that, I said, a word for you? And she said, yes, she didn't even know the word prayer. And to make a long story short, she got involved in this lady's life and got her to a counselor who happened to be a man at their church. And the woman came to Christ literally 5 years after the party.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, Jan has faithfully prayed again. And so let's see how it goes when she calls Linda.
Linda, this is Jan. How'd your shopping go?
It's wild out there. The stores are already jammed, but we still found a few things.
Oh, good. I was just calling to tell you how excited I was to have you at my coffee yesterday.
Oh, thanks. I really had a nice time.
I noticed you wrote on your comment card that you'd like to know more about the Christian life.
I would. I could really relate to what Vicky said. You know, about that emptiness she talked about. I know what that feels like. I never really said anything about it before because I have so many things in my life that should make me happy. Anyway, it kind of got me to thinking. I really want to know God and have that peace and joy in my life, but I still have some questions.
I'd be glad to.
I caught myself holding back tears. I thought, wow, if Christ can make these two people so kind and thoughtful, if he can change their lives, then I want to know more.
Well, Linda, I'm starting a January Bible study on Monday nights. I'd love it if you'd join us.
I'll be there. Sign me up.
Hey, why don't we get together sometime this week and maybe I could help answer some of your questions? In fact, would you like to come over this afternoon? Is that too soon?
No, not at all.
I've got some hot tea brewing. Oh, and I found these wonderful muffins down at the discount bar.
Sounds like Linda's on her way to receiving Christ.
Isn't that exciting? You know, we need to be available when we sense that our neighbors have questions or they just need to talk to us.
Well, I find, too, that it's a good idea to keep some four spiritual law booklets handy. This would be a perfect tool for Jan to share with Linda when she comes over.
I agree. You know, Vonette, I think a lot of people will call us and talk to us, and our conversations just totally change. I remember one lady who had a work party, and she said the office after her party was never the same. The conversations were just so rich with people. But probably the best way we can follow up our party is to offer a Bible study. And we've found that people that have offered these Bible studies, they just get lots of response from the neighbors.
Now, do you make this a short-term Bible study?
We start with maybe 4 to 6 weeks, just something very non-threatening and short-term, right in the very same home that the party's been held, so that they know that it'll be the same people that will be there and be present.
And they're not committing themselves for not a for year a long study time. Or something of that sort.
Even though if they're 4 to 6 weeks, it's amazing. Most of them want to continue, and many of the Bible studies have continued year after year. I just received a call from a man in North Carolina whose church had done a number of parties through the different women of the church, and he told me, even as we spoke, this was maybe 6 months after the Christmas gatherings, that there were 17 Bible studies still going on, and he had been calculating with the different women and said that there were 67 non-believers still coming to these Bible studies as a result of the Christmas gatherings.
That is wonderful.
Thank you, Vonette and Joyce. This has been an exciting session. I'm looking forward to the next and final session as we hear from a special guest who has hosted 4 Christmas gatherings and has already seen 16 women receive Christ as a result. She'll be sharing some fascinating, life-changing stories about these ladies.
Wonderful.
Vonette and Joyce, you've given us some great principles and ideas for planning and hosting evangelistic events in our homes. And I'm so excited about what we've learned so far, but I feel a little left out. What about men? Do we miss out on all that good stuff?
Men also enjoy gatherings planned just for them, centering around sporting events and barbecues and breakfasts. And there are a lot of wonderful ideas that men can use.
My husband and I have had the opportunity of speaking at a number of parties. Sometimes he's the speaker, or just last year we shared one. He spoke part of the time and I spoke part of the time. It was really fun.
It's a good time for couples, isn't it?
It definitely is a great time for couples.
I'd like for all of our listeners to call or write for the Joy of Hospitality and the Christmas Gathering Manual for great ideas on how you can introduce your neighbors to Christ.
You know, Bill, one of the men from my church decided he wanted to have a men's event. He's a pilot, and he has a plane, and out at the hangar, the men all hang around together, and so he invited just men to his particular Christmas gathering.
What a great idea.
And I think there were about 7 men who made decisions for Christ at that particular party. He was so thrilled and then began a Bible study with them.
Well, as you can see, this will enrich your own life and transform your ministry.
I agree. And we have a special guest with us today, Carrie Maggart. And she and her husband have been with our staff for 18 and a half years. And I must say, you don't look like you're old enough to have been with us that long. Her husband is responsible for 6 of the U.S. ministries. And Carrie is the mother of 2 girls, Evan and Mackenzie.
We're so glad you could be with us for this special occasion today, Carrie.
Oh, thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Carrie, I understand you've hosted 4 Christmas gatherings, and 16 women have come to trust Christ as a result. That is so exciting.
Yes, it really is exciting to me to see what God has done in my neighborhood.
Tell us about your very first Christmas gathering, Carrie.
Well, you know, I have wanted to do a Christmas gathering in my neighborhood ever since I was in high school because, you know, Joyce, we come from the same church, and my mom heard about this concept back when I was in high school, and she invited our neighbors in. Some of the neighbor ladies trusted Christ, and afterwards she had a Bible study with our neighbors. And so, you know, I saw that example, and that is one of the reasons why I do Christmas gatherings in my neighborhood, because I want my girls girls to also have that same heart and desire to reach their neighbors and friends for Christ.
That's wonderful, Carrie. The same thing happened to me. I had Christmas gatherings in my home, and when my daughter got old enough, she said, "Can I have a party? Can I have a party for my friends?" And so she invited her friends and their moms, and we had a mother-daughter party, even when she was as young as in junior high. It was so exciting.
Well, for my first Christmas gathering then, when my girlfriend Colleen came up to me and said, "Carrie, would you like to have a Christmas gathering in our neighborhood?" I said, "Yes." And so what we did is we sent out invitations and invited the neighbor ladies. 13 women came that night, and 4 trusted Christ, and the rest were Christians, except I had one holdout that night, and it was my friend Dawnie. But she indicated on her card that she was interested in more information about knowing Christ personally. And then as a result of that time, I invited 8 stay-at-home moms to be a part of the follow-up Bible study, 4-week, 1.5 hours a week to do a Bible study. And Dawn received Christ into her life that first follow-up Bible study.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, now, I understand that you have a very special story about your most recent Christmas gathering.
Yes, we had, you know, in the Bible study, as a result of these Christmas gatherings, I have a Bible study. We get into a 4-week Bible study and then get more in depth into the Word and growing in Christ and maturing. And
so you start out with a 4-week.
Yes.
And then it sometimes continues, so then you do a deeper study.
And so we had just been talking about how we can influence our friends and neighbors for Christ and how we can be a witness in our world. So it was a natural to have a Christmas gathering. So the sisters in our, we call it the Sisters Bible Study, we all invited our friends and neighbors, and we had 25 women at my last Christmas
wonderful.
Gathering. So as a result, 3 women trusted in Christ. One of those women, Lynn, she won the door prize that night. But even more importantly, she left my house with Jesus in her heart and as her Savior.
Well, you know, I think one of the most frightening things about hosting a gathering and that most people are concerned about is how do you deliver the invitation in the first place?
Well, Vonette, you know, because I know most of my neighbors, I will send the invitation out via the mail. But those women that I have a special burden for coming to my Christmas gathering or that they're new to the neighborhood and I haven't had a chance to meet them yet, I will go up and personally hand-deliver
them. That's
great. And it really is effective. People have said, "Thank you for inviting me into your home," and it is an honor, Joyce.
It really is. You know, Vonette and I have mentioned earlier in this series that follow-up is just as important as the event. Why don't you tell us how you follow up with the ladies, and what do you say?
Oh, you know, this is probably one of my most favorite parts of the Christmas gathering is the follow-up. And what I do is, you know, some of the women may not even mark on their card that they're interested in the Bible study, but I have still gone ahead and invited them. And
invite them all. That's
yes.
what I do, too. Just
and they
invite
come,
everybody.
Yes, I do. And I see that they come. And I remember one of the ladies said, "Well, what are you doing, a Bible study?" She think it's a study hall and we all just sit with our Bibles. But I said, what I usually say is, "Do you know, I would love to invite you into my home. It's a 4-week Bible study, and it's about 1.5 hours a week for 4 weeks." And you know, these Bible studies.
And it's simple. It's something that just anybody, even people who've never studied the Bible, could come to.
Oh, yes. And I say, I love these Bible studies because they help us to see how Jesus relates to our everyday life and how God can become more personal in our lives. So, could you make it at the, you know, and then we set a time and everything and just invite them to come to our follow-up Bible studies. And, you know, one of the exciting things about these Bible studies is I've been doing them over the last years. And so several of the women have gone through the follow-up Bible studies and then they have observed them in a way that I have challenged them now. Look at these Bible studies in the way that you could lead them as well. So this last Christmas, I asked 4 of the sisters in the Bible study that have really grown in their walks with Christ, and I asked them to lead one of the Bible studies.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
so they're growing up in the process.
Yes, and they led the Bible studies, and I was there to encourage them, but it was such a thrill to see how now they have grown to the point where they can lead groups as well.
Oh, that's
now,
great.
Now, when you say Bible studies, you start out with a simple four-week
yes.
series. Are these available for people?
Oh, yes, they are. With Campus Crusade offers them with integrated resources and Women Today Ministry. They are beautifully packaged, and they meet the needs of women. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the women's follow-up, as well as men.
Yeah, and they're also mentioned in the back of the Christmas Gathering Manual, some of the various Bible studies
them.
That people can use.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Carrie. You have given us many ideas and how encouraging you are. I can't imagine anybody saying no to you. And I can't imagine anybody not having success after hearing about this, if they'll just try it, that they can learn the joy of practicing hospitality.
Thank you, Vonette, Joyce, and Carrie. This has been another in this series of exciting discussions on how we can introduce our neighbors and loved ones and friends to Christ. Thank you. Anyone listening can do this, because it's not a matter of your ability. It's more of a matter of your availability. The presentation is so simple, clear, and so absolutely intoxicating with challenge. You know, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will remain. Our prayer is that God will give you a special burden, a passion for your neighbors, and you will want to introduce them to our Lord and use the creative ideas in these manuals to show you how you can be fruitful and effective for our Savior. Right now, wherever you are, ask God how you can be a part of this effective, life-changing ministry and see your neighbors receive the greatest gift of all eternity, our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.